Welcome to the Between the Fur podcast, the show that allows professional mascot performers from the NBA and other pro sports to share their bizarre, funny and inspirational stories and give exclusive insight on what it's like behind the scenes and between the fur. Hosted by award-winning NBA mascot performer, Ken Solomon.
Welcome back to Between the Fur. Appreciate y'all being a part of our crew, a part of our listening audience, and coming back for more, right? So a little shout out before we get going here to all my guys down at Ball Arena Argus, all my Argus guys down there at Ball Arena. Been getting a lot of comments and questions from them lately. So today we have a very special guest, my buddy Scott Strait. Before we get to that, let's do a little sponsor stuff. This episode is sponsored by Burr Bottles. Dive into the world of Burr Bottles at burrbottles.com and witness the fusion of style and sustainability. Make your hydration count. Use code FURBURR for 25% off your order. You guys, like and subscribe, please. This will help the algorithm send us out to more people. The object of this, the purpose of this podcast is to educate and inspire. And if we're not doing that, if we're not spreading the love and getting this out there, then just doesn't happen as much. And we'd like to get that out there. So appreciate that. Today we have my buddy Scott Strait, one of my best friends in the whole wide world, right here in the studio live. I could like reach out and touch him, buddy. Or even better, throw something at him.
Like some dirty underwear.
We won't go into that, okay? Yeah, maybe. So, well, maybe we will. Scott and I have had a great relationship for a lot of years here. He was my assistant from 97 to 2005, roughly. Is that what we figured?
2005, yeah. 2006, yeah.
Yeah. So, appreciate you making the trip up here. He lives in Colorado Springs, and made the trip all the way up here. Scott, we go way back. Welcome.
Yeah, we go back to, we met in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Met in college through my roommate, and your stepbrother.
My stepbrother, yeah.
Yeah, Harlan. Little shout out to Harlan.
Harlan Baker.
HB. And we got to know each other. And you were working for what, Foot Locker back then? And then he and I hired you to come down, relocate. We were starting a new business down in Colorado Springs, and it was going super great. And we're like, yeah, let's bring this guy in and we'll make it even better. And got you down here, and it was okay. The business was going okay. But then it was like, hey, Ken, I need a little supplemental income.
And yeah, you guys weren't paying enough.
No, we weren't making enough.
No, I know.
It was not good. However, luckily when one door closes, another one opens. Yeah. And man, it was a good day when we decided, hey, you can come work for me, be my assistant, and that was what I needed when I needed it. And it was a great relationship, both not only professionally, but friendship wise. And we've grown into, grown to be brothers.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't start out that way. I mean, we were friends and I knew you, but it started off, you know, just as something that we both needed, but it turned into, I mean, you're probably my best friend in life. Yeah.
Probably. I am your
next
best
to my
friend.
Next to my wife, I better be careful.
There you go. But, I can understand.
But yeah, I consider you like my brother.
Nice. Yeah, well, yeah. Same here. So with that, which it didn't start out that way.
No.
And not that it was bad, but we just, you know, we had a business relationship. But I remember the first little bit, training you to be my assistant at the games and appearances and everything. It was, I remember reaching out to you, or I remember like in a tunnel or something at one point. I was like, hey, yeah, look, you've got to start thinking like me. You've got to start thinking for me. You've got to get in my head. You have to think one step ahead of me.
Yeah, I think it came after something probably went wrong with a kid or a skid or something. And it was new. I was new. And I think you were just like getting after me and like saying, you got to be a step ahead of me. You got to know where I'm going with stuff. You got to. And I changed my whole perspective of what I was doing as your assistant. I mean, I think that was probably a pretty big turning point as far as where we went creatively and just yeah, started knowing what you wanted.
Yeah, it was a whole learning curve, but boy, once we turned that corner, man, you and I were in sync.
That's when it got fun.
We were like a boy band.
Well, we weren't as good looking. But. a boy duo.
A boy duo. So it was, we ended up having a lot of fun. We traveled all over the place and we had some great times in the NBA, you know, traveling with other organizations and things like that. And I remember when you left, boy, it was like somebody had cut off my arm. It was, well, what do I do now? Who do I bounce this off of? Because I would go to you and go, hey, look, all right, this is what I'm thinking. And I've got this idea. And okay, this is it. I don't have the ending, or I don't have the middle, or I, you know, whatever, some part of it. And you'd be like, what about doing this? And yeah, I would say, okay, no, that sucks, but that gives me another idea. Just kidding.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, let's be real now. No, but I think that's what made us so good together is that I didn't necessarily have all the creative stuff, but until you would start something and you'd start walking down that road and then I could start telling you how I could see it ending, and then that would make sense to you. And that's where we started getting some funny stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I just remember us coming back in after some of the things we would come up with at the last minute and we'd just be busting out laughing. That actually worked. Oh my gosh. Can you believe that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking coming into this, and probably one of the things that frustrated me the most, and this is not to get on, but you are like, and I don't know, I think a lot of the mascots that know you and have worked with you kind of know that you don't typically go into something very prepared.
What? And I have a piece of paper.
Yeah. And so a lot of stuff kind of came off the hip and, but I think that's really what I felt like made you so good. Is that even though you had kind of in your mind how you wanted it to happen, because you didn't rehearse it or go over it so much, you were able to roll with how it really unfolded and really go with it, which a lot of times, I mean, there's many times we would do a skit or we'd do something and it didn't go any way like we were talking about it, but it turned out better. And that's, I think, kind of what we would laugh about, too, when we get back into the room is we'd like, what happened? That's not the way we saw it, but that was awesome. We couldn't have planned it like that.
Right.
And that was the best. And that's where I had so much joy with what we did, is when a kid reacted, or what a kid would do, or how a person would react when you'd pull them on the floor. It was just like, that's not going the way.
No,
we thought.
But you could pick people. You could pick little kids. You could be like, hey, I think you ought to take that little kid out on the court. That kid's going to be good. That kid's got personality. You could spot people for things like that, spontaneous bits. You got to where you could read people. And if we were choosing kids for musical chairs, man, you could spot them. And it was so fun to get out there. And, yeah, you know, because some of these kids were – you tell me about some kid. We'd go out there, and I'd I'd roll the ball, the game ball, to some kid, and inevitably something funny would happen. And I think that's when I started doing that bit is when you started suggesting, take that little kid out there and
just go with it.
Yeah. Go with it. And
of course, that was back in the day when we had a lot more flexibility in the game. I mean, it started to get to the point where it was too controlled.
Yeah. I always talk about the Wild West.
Yeah.
And how we could shoot from the hip a little bit more. And yeah. I mean, you started, we weren't even in McNichols. We weren't in Pepsi Center yet.
We were still in McNichols.
Yeah. And back then it was, anything goes.
Yeah, you could do anything. They wouldn't.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that was back before you had to worry about fans and getting hurt.
Or hurting fans.
Fans.
I got a couple things written down here because I'm super prepared for everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so with this half-court shot, I didn't know if I would be able to. I got so much better with that half-court shot when Scott was under the hoop. I don't know why. Maybe it was a mental thing. I don't know. But I'd throw it and I'd watch for his hands to go up. And it was, he'd do it.
And I'd do it before the ball goes through the hoop.
Yeah, before the hoop. Man, his hands would go. We got tons of video. We'll throw some video in. But he's like, and I'm like, yeah, there it goes. Yeah, boom. Good. Pretty much every time. So, all right, the Michael Jordan time. Well, was that before All-Star or after? No, you started in 94.
97.
No, that's right. 97. 2005. That's right. So the All-Star game was in 2005.
That was my last All-Star game.
Okay. All right. So it was before this then. Yeah, right.
Are you talking about the one where Jordan was on the last, when he was with Washington? And
yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael Jordan's in town. And, of course, the place is just packed. And everything revolved around Michael Jordan at the time. I mean, security, everything was, situated, positioned all around Michael Jordan. I hated those games. From day one, I hated when Michael Jordan would come to town. So he's there. I knew it was one of his last games. He's sitting at the end of the court. And I may have told this story before, but I'm going into it again. He's sitting on the end of the court, baseline, and stretching. And, he had some, I think he was icing, whether then or
his
whatever.
Knees
he was, yeah, he was
that.
He was sitting there. And I got this idea. And I leaned into you. I said, go get me a basketball. I need a basketball. Get a basketball. Boom. Pretty soon, had a basketball back, Sharpie. And I go and I sit down. Kind of next to him,
right,
but not close to him. You can't just plop down next to Michael Jordan. Yeah. So
not
sit
even,
down.
Not even Rocky.
Got no, it. I didn't have that kind of confidence at the time.
Hey.
However, I'll be respectful. So I plop down kind of next to him.
Well, the best thing about this time in his career too was that it wasn't the same as when he was with the Bulls,
right?
And so was a lot more. He wasn't as tight as he was when he was with the Bulls, and so he was a little more loose. Of course, that's not how we thought about it, because it was Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Michael Jordan.
That's Michael Jordan. Ah. Yeah.
Because we knew how intense he was.
But. Oh, yeah. So, sit down. I got this ball, and I roll it around my back. I just sit there. As soon as I did, by the way, the cameras
were on you. What you were doing.
Yeah, because everything revolves around Michael Jordan. So, cameras on us. So, I roll the ball around, and I roll it over to him, and I'm reaching way over to where he is. And then, set the ball there, and I take my pen, take the cap off, and I'm waving it over here here, He's he just doesn't even notice me. I'm not even there. look over at him, lean in again. Come on, sign the ball, sign the ball. Nothing, nothing. So I scoot a little closer to him. And I'm like, you know, here, sign the ball. And I'm like, trying to get the camera still on us. This is how much time is ticking. Okay, I'm trying to give you a feel of how much time I'm sitting there. And finally, he goes, come on, man. He's like, not now, not now. Okay, yeah, no, hey, it's cool. Put my hands up. I'm like, yep, hey, roll the ball back around me. Sit there for a sec, sit there for a sec, sit there for a sec, look around, scoot a little bit closer, roll the ball back around. Now? So now I'm kind of right next to him. Pull out the pen. Come on, man. Sign it. Sign it. Do it. Sign it. And everybody's in the crowd. I mean, they're watching and they're, I mean, you can hear cheers.
Yeah, they're trying to get him to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, finally, he's like, oh, man. All right. So he takes the pen, signs it, hands the ball. I get the ball back. I don't even know where the pen went. You were probably back there grabbing a pen.
I'm sure I grabbed it after you threw it into the crowd.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, timeout right then. Man, the cameras spun around. They're on me. Like the floor cameras are on me all of a sudden. And I'm showing the camera, look, Michael Jordan signed the ball. Place is going nuts. I go out, you know, I'm going to throw a half-court shot with this. I don't know why I would think that. Yeah, I'm going to throw a half-court shot with this. Scott gets under the basket.
Yeah.
As usual, ready to retrieve the ball, throw
it
back.
That's because it wasn't planned.
Yeah.
And no, there was no, like, we have the crew that you have now that goes out and is ready to get the ball because.
Yeah, there was.
There was no one.
It was spontaneous. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, last minute, I'm just doing this.
He's going to do
this. Hope the game director is on board with this because I don't know.
Yeah.
You got the headset on. And
he's going to shoot it. He's going to shoot it.
Yeah, give him the timeout. He's going to shoot it. And I go out there, and I have so much adrenaline at that point. I'm like, yeah, here we go. I throw that thing. Let it go. I turn around. I look. And here is Scott.
Yeah.
The wide receiver running. It goes over the shot clock.
Yeah, it was. I had to get it from the crowd because I was like, you know, that's like fight for the ball, you know, type. I went back to get it.
Yeah. I see him running back there, full on.
Catch.
Yeah.
Man, that sucks.
And I'm like inside there going, oh no, what's going to happen? Sure enough, he catches it and he's doing this, getting back to the court like, people are starting to mob him. He's like holding on to that ball, gets back to the court, and it looked like you were red faced and like just like you had been through a battle. All like your eyes were big, and you just throw that thing back to me. Boo, get it. I turn,
and it was time was running out.
Time, yeah. Oh, by the way, I mean I had kind of paraded that ball like, look at this. So yeah. So I throw the next one and sink it.
Yeah, it was money.
You threw that thing back to me, and that's when I was like, you know, hold it up. Place went nuts. Kyle, he yells out, anybody want to sign Michael Jordan ball? Place came apart.
Yeah.
So I start running around and boot it into the crowd. Yeah. Like, I punted it. That guy gets it. You told me later, because I didn't watch this, and I've told this story saying, you know, that, you know, what happened after that. But you told me you were watching. Luckily, I booted that. Boom! Some guy caught it, and he disappeared. People were like all over him, and then and then all of a sudden you see him scoot out to the aisle with it under his shirt. And he just sprints.
He's getting out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because you didn't want us reclaiming it.
Right?
Like, that's never happened.
Yeah.
You know, the beauty of that, though, is I have a picture on my desk at home with you, me, and Michael. And I think that opened up that ability for us to have that picture.
Because oh, yeah.
I think he enjoyed it. I mean, you saw him on the sideline.
I don't even have that picture.
You know, don't you? No. He signed a jersey for me that night. He signed
that's the jersey I have
on my wall. But
I won too when we went in there.
He signed a ball. Yeah, no, but I think if you saw him on the sideline after that, I mean, he was smiling. He was ecstatic that happened, and I think that opened the door, because after the game we were able to go see him and
we went in there, and remember what he said? He goes, "Man, I have never signed anything during a game ever.
Ever, yeah.
I don't know why I did tonight."
Yeah, and it was a good thing he did.
And yeah.
It was huge.
It was magic. We got in the back. We're like, can you believe that happened? Can you believe he signed it, first of all, and then to make the shot?
Yeah. That was
nice. Yeah, there was so many magic moments. So many magic moments. Okay, let's switch gears. We were talking about All-Star. When All-Star came to town, we found out that, and I think you got the call or something, that David Stern requested that I throw a half-court shot at the beginning of the game, at the intros.
I mean, he also kind of thought like he just could make it. Like it was just...
Like it was just on call.
On call. Like, yeah, I just make those when I want to.
Yeah.
I mean, you made them as often as you... I mean, it almost seemed that way sometimes, but...
Yeah.
You made them a lot.
So remember when we were in practice, though? We're in the dark. We're doing the whole timed thing. We're practicing it. They wanted us to go in there and throw a bunch of them and everything. But I couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Yeah.
Remember? You come up and go, "Man, I think you better get your costume on."
Oh, that's right, yeah. Because I'm like, you know, you can't shoot this without your costume.
Yeah.
And I think that was the funny thing. It's not, you never practiced out of costume. Because I remember when we'd be doing it, and you and I would probably make more half-court shots over the head than you without your costume. Because you sucked out of costume.
You sucked.
I don't know if it's because of the way the head stopped your arms, or I don't know what it was, but you, in costume, you were deadly. But out of costume, you sucked.
Yeah, still. So I went and got, and everybody around while I was practicing was like,
"God, he's not going to make this.
Can he actually make this? I mean, this is, like, should we shift gears here? Should we drop this?" That's when you came over and you're like, "You're getting a little nervous. Maybe you ought to go put your costume on." So Red got the costume on. Yeah, sunk a couple. And
yeah, different story.
But they told me, they told you.
Yeah.
If he does not make it, you do not throw the ball back to him. You have one shot, one opportunity. So I was so nervous about that. I'm like, that is, I mean, okay. You know, the odds of that. So I remember going, "Look, Scott, you keep your eye right on me. You get the ball. And if I ask for it, I'm going to make this next shot. You throw it back to me."
Right.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
It came down to it. Everything's timed out. One thing to the next, to the next, to the next. It's intros of the game, all the different things happening before tip-off. We're all timed to the tee. And here, I go out there to shoot that shot. Miss. I mean, air ball it.
It wasn't even close.
That first one was just an air ball. I was like, I am not walking. I mean, I knew as soon as it left my hand. So I called for it before you even caught it. I was hands out.
Yeah.
Hands out. Let's go. You caught it. fired it back to
luckily
me.
Luckily, it didn't hit anything.
Right?
So I was able to just catch it and get it back to you.
Fired it back to me. And it was almost like I didn't even line up.
You turned around.
Turned around, threw it, sunk it, walked off.
And it went nuts, yeah.
I still have that ball. Sorry, NBA.
Yeah.
I kept that ball. Yeah.
That was good. Now, there's a lot of times I would hear things over the headset that, of course, you didn't have a headset on, so no one.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. What is he doing? No, 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 he can't do that. And I'm just like, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't have any way to communicate with him, and that's probably a good thing.
Oh, man.
There's so many times on the headset I would hear them cussing you or something. But then the funny thing is just like that. Then it works out. And then it was just like, and I'm like, and there you are. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why you let him just do his thing.
And yeah, let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, but it never changed I'd always hear those things, and I would remind a few of them.
You had a good way about that.
And as much as you were in control, just quit trying to be in control. And I would have meetings with them after like that. And I'd be like, look, it doesn't do any good for you to get upset on the headset. You're not doing anybody but making everybody else nervous. And I can't tell him to stop. So just let
And if you want me to run out there and tug on his sleeve, not doing it.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Yeah, I had a feel for the game.
Sure.
I mean, I knew when time. Yeah. I mean, I'd be stepping off the court as the ball was coming into play a lot of times, which makes everybody nervous.
One of my best stories, and that's one of our best family stories, is in that to go along those lines was the dunk from my oldest son when he was 14.
Oh, yeah.
Was that whole, we planned that skit, and just, again, like going along with every other skit you're trying to plan. And we had him up. He was 14. He was only, he was 4'9". No, he's 5'9".
Tall kid.
Yeah, but he's 14, but he couldn't hit the trampoline for the life of himself.
Oh, I know.
And we had him up there practicing, and he just couldn't dunk it. He would get so close.
Braden, at 14, you were not coordinated.
Yeah. Anyway, and so we were just like, oh, what are we going to do? And we're like, we'll just go with it. He's a kid, so the crowd's going to love him anyways.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. And so we did our 10 people, and we narrowed it down, and no one was making it. He didn't even make it, even though he wanted to so bad on his first.
And this was a fan dunk contest.
This is a fan dunk contest that we
did.
Like,
throw your son in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, we narrowed it down. We did the whole thing, narrowed it down, because it was a quarter break. So we had a little extra time, and we were coming. Remember, we did 10.
Go ahead.
No, because we had they had players on the court. Mm. We ran them through really quick.
Oh, okay.
And I think it might have been halftime, but it must have been, because we had players on the court.
It
might have been at the end of the halftime.
They might have been coming out, yeah.
But we narrowed them down to the last three, and the time was running out, and you sent him, and he just got really close, where he just hits the front of the rim with
dong.
The ball. Dong. Yeah. And they're yelling on the headset, we're done.
Done. Last shot.
You ran down and you grabbed him and you grabbed the ball and you ran him back down, and he didn't even know and I remember him telling me, he was just yelling at me in my, go again. And it was like, and I can hear them yelling in the headset, get the mat off the floor, get the tramp off the floor. And just because of our nature, it's like, he's going again. And they were on the headset, we're coming out of time. And you sent him. I don't even know that he got all the way back down.
I don't think so.
You grabbed him. You handed him the ball. And you just kind of pushed him in the back, and he ran. And we didn't notice this until later after we saw the film. But as he was running, the whole crowd stands. They all just stand up as they're watching him run. And he goes off the thing. And we've got a couple of, I mean, all those the photographers and stuff, we have a picture of him horizontal to the rim with the ball in the hoop. And his pants are, you know, that's back when the kids wore their pants down and stuff. His underwear was showing. His mom hates that shot. But that went in, and the place exploded. And then, again, it was one of those things. It's just like, you can't get that reaction out of a crowd.
If we would have stopped where...
When they said to stop.
There wouldn't have been any drama.
And you were running, like, it's almost like you were not but 10 paces behind him. Because after he hits it and he stands up and he doesn't even know, you just tackle him.
And, I was so excited.
And you grabbed him and you picked him up. And the players were high-fiving him. And they, because the electricity in the arena was insane after he made that basket.
Yeah.
And the players loved it. And, yeah, it was just, that was probably one of the, you know, one of the coolest moments. I know it's in one of his coolest moments in his life.
Yep.
But
yep. Didn't we have him back a few years later, he had broken his arm.
Yeah.
And so he dunked with a broken
dunk.
With a cast on. Like, wasn't it a cast on his other?
Other arm, left arm.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or shoulder. I think it was something. He was older though, but that was. But that moment went down in time is one of the.
That was huge.
Awesome.
Good job, Braden. Dude. Yeah.
He'll be listening today or whenever he listens it. But
nice. Yeah.
So he'll like that shout out.
Well, he deserves it. That was good. Yeah.
Dallin, the try to cut his hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was huge.
That's still a big.
Yeah, we did that one with your youngest son.
My youngest son later. And this is the funny thing is, you know, this is one of the most awesome things, and I'm sure all the mascots, to involve all our kids. I mean, we use
nothing
your boys, my kids with, you know, musical turkeys, all the different things that we. When we knew we were going to do something with a kid that might be questionable, like throwing them across the floor or whatever, it was, we'd use our own kids.
Yeah.
And that was the best. But Dallin, who's 10 years younger than all our older kids, never really got to experience that because I was later. I mean, he grew up after. So yeah. He only got to go to games, never really experienced it. And so, I don't know, it was probably... He graduated just before. So, yeah, it had to be 2017, maybe. He was a little older.
Yeah.
But he had this really bushy mound of hair, and we set him up to cut his hair.
For the Clippers game.
Clippers game. That's what it was. He had a Clippers
jersey on.
Yeah.
So I went up there.
And you went up there, and we thought it was going to go a lot easier, and it didn't go through his hair.
It was so thick. I'm just like... It was like mowing a lawn that was, you know, like
it's such
14 inches thick. Just mowing through this big old thing.
So funny.
Yeah. I ended up with a guy sitting next to him that hit me with water.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a man bun that I came back and cut off later. And paraded it around like.
That was a good one, though, too.
That was fun.
No.
Good times.
Going back to that dunk thing with Braden, that's probably one of my best. That's another great memory was we did that same skit in Argentina.
Yeah. But used you.
But it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what makes that one the best, that's probably another reason that I love. Same thing, same skit.
Shout out to Alejandro.
Yeah, for bringing us down.
Yep.
A number of times.
His daughter, I remember her daughter's name, Baylin. She was just a little girl.
Yeah.
I always thought, that's the coolest name.
But what made that one so awesome was, of course, you know, the good thing about Argentina, they're so a white boy in Argentina is not necessarily completely, you know,
it doesn't stand out.
Stand out.
No.
Because there's still some lighter skin, you know, folks down there. And so after I made the dunk and everybody went nuts.
We pulled you out like you're just some fan.
We just had 10 fans.
You were a little bit more heavy set back then, too.
Yeah, I was probably carrying a little extra weight, so I'd probably... Thanks.
I appreciate
that.
Yeah. So,
let me look into the camera. I was probably carrying a little extra weight.
But...
I don't know if I was any lighter than I was now. I am now, but... Anyways, so...
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The look was great.
Perfect. It was perfect. And I make this dunk. And, of course, afterwards and stuff, I go back up into the crowd because I have to play the part of being, you know, part of the crowd. And then then we sent some of the security to come grab me afterwards, kind of pull me out so that wasn't – everybody's high-fiving me as I'm going back in the crowd and go sit down. Of course, it's not like an arena. It's like a little stadium. And so you're only going up 25 rows or something.
Yeah, it was kind of like a high school gym.
Yeah. But it just had
big high school gym
all the way around.
Yeah.
But the best part about that whole thing was after the game, when I'm back in my, you know, my Nuggets gear to be your assistant, and we start walking out, and all the kids are Rocky, 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 and they're wanting signatures. And as you sign, then they were taking the card and then handing it to me, wanting my signature. And, you know, the best part was you're signing, and I can only do this only imagining what your face looked like in costume. And the kids kept handing me the picture, and you just like were, what is happening? And I would be like, and I'm looking at you with this silly grin on my face, like, guess what, buddy? Now who's the star?
Right. We laughed about that afterwards. I remember that.
Your ability to communicate in costume was, I think, is probably the best.
Well.
Those are the things that
you could read me real well.
I can tell what you're saying in costume. There's so many times in the crowd and stuff, you'd be doing something and you turn and I could just tell what you were saying inside the costume. And it was just, I'd laugh. And
then there were so many people, though, that would ask you, like, wait, how did you know what he just said? Oh. Like, how did you know that? Yeah. It was weird. It was like spooky almost because you got really good at it. Yeah. It was fun. Those trips down to Argentina
were the best.
So fun. I mean, probably. They treated us like
royalty.
Royalty.
Yeah. That was what was so funny. Remember that we went to San Luis?
San Luis.
And they're like, yeah, we got you guys our own room. And we go, we check in, and they're like, yeah, you have the presidential suites. And we're like thinking, presidential suites? And, you know, and you can only imagine in America, what you're thinking, presidential suite.
Oh, it's going to be posh.
And we kind of both go to our own room. And then I remember we come walking out. We're like, dude.
Dude, what's your room like?
And I can't remember which one, but mine was like bright blue and yours was like orange, like
yeah, bright orange. I was gonna say red, but it was
and oranges in it. But it was just like that was their thing, you know. They'd have these
everything
these vibrant colors were just
wallpaper, everywhere. Fuzzy wallpaper,
and I was just like
shiny.
I mean, and the rooms were really nice, but it was cool. it was just like took you back. Like,
and they had full on big old like almost skeleton keys.
Oh yeah, they
remember
were,
that like, the yeah, big the and the
old,
leather
old key. Yep.
I still have the keychain. I asked if I can keep
the keychain.
The keychain from that room.
But I remember those rooms were just so funny. We were laughing.
They were big and spacious.
Yeah. But it was just the colors were just out of control.
All ornate and everything. Woodwork was amazing in there.
Yeah. And then they looked over the water that was just that lake.
It was a small lake. We went out there. Did we do some?
We jet skied off.
Yeah, we jet skied. That's off right. The
lake and stuff. That was, but it was, but they were in. And they're just in their humble way.
They rolled out the red carpet for us. They were doing
everything for you.
Yeah,
it was so appreciative, but it was just so. It was just kind of.
Do
fun.
You remember the one in Mar del Plata? And do you remember, like, all of a sudden we stayed in that one hotel that was all open on the inside, and kind of an A-frame or whatever. But that was really nice. And the right behind the hotel was that massive graveyard.
Oh yeah.
Huge tombs and everything. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And we go to the beach, and they have those little huts and everything on the beach. And I remember getting in the car with Alejandro. He had his family there, and they were taking us back to the hotel. And he lets his son drive, who's like nine.
On his lap.
On his lap.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nuts.
I'll do the pedals.
And I'm just sitting there going, my goodness, we're going to die.
Best go-karting, though.
Oh,
yeah. Remember the go-karting?
Yeah.
Oh, best go-karts. They were fast.
They were fast. I was like, these are would not pass.
They would never make it in the States.
I mean, you were flying.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just down there. I mean, the driving and everything. It's just like.
So hot on the beach when we were performing on the beach, though. Remember?
Oh, you were.
They had a basketball court laid out on the sand.
Beach. Yeah, that was just, and it wasn't even even.
No. They wanted me to dunk
on it.
Yeah. I'm like, just scoot the tramp up close.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not even.
I don't even.
Not even six paces. Like, let's three paces. I mean, I just want to go straight up and dunk because.
It was so hot. It was 100. It was over 100 degrees.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it was in the suit.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
That was so fun.
That was a good trip.
Yeah.
Good trip.
We did some other trips, too.
Lithuania. Moscow. We went.
Yeah, Moscow. Oh, my gosh. That's right.
I remember walking in after the game. After they like, oh, we want to take you to dinner. And we're like, oh, okay. And we stroll up to this. And it wasn't even a hotel. I don't even think it was a hotel. It was kind of just a building, like a brick building. And so we walked in and we're like, okay, where are we going to dinner? And we kind of walk in through the scene. And it just like really felt mobbish. Like there was like.
Everything on that trip felt mobbish.
Yeah, it was like everything was a little sketchy. I remember a lot of times we were like,
Yeah.
Are we coming back from this trip? You know, it's like it was one of those things. They were really nice.
Oh,
don't get
yeah.
me wrong. But it was just like you're never quite sure. And they didn't.
Even with the performance.
And the performance, it's like you didn't even get reactions out of the crowd. Like the kids, it's like no one knew how to laugh or smile. It's mm-hmm. like you barely got any emotion out of them. And it was the hardest
performance
because we just didn't even know if they liked it.
Yeah, it was tough. I was like, do we smash somebody with a cake here or?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't know.
Scott's over here going, I don't think so. Let's just do some musical chairs or something.
It's got to be you know. Really late. You know.
Yeah.
Because there's no reaction out of the crowd.
And when somebody spoke to you, it wasn't like, and of course it wasn't that, you know, they weren't mad, but when they spoke, it felt
very, very rigid.
Yeah.
And that was the funny thing. So we walk up after, and we're walking up these stairs into this like upper room. And we walk into this room and there's all these guys in their black leather. And that was, I think, the first time I saw someone smile. But they're like, oh, come for dinner. And we're like, yeah. Who is this? This is the Russian mob. I don't know, you know. And they had dinner laid out for us and, you know, trying to talk to them. Of course, they're offering us everything in the world.
Yep.
You know,
everything in the world.
Yeah. Like, oh, you want some women tonight? No.
No.
We don't do that. It was crazy. But
yeah.
Those are experiences that, you know, you can't ever.
And here we were walking around the Kremlin.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, this is actually happening. This is so crazy. We're there. We did some other touring around, you know, the city there. Went to a market. It was really interesting to be to be there. Lithuania, great food.
Food was great.
Latvia
was great. Yeah. I mean, the people there, just like, you're walking the streets, and the streets were so clean. And you could tell they were so poor, but it's like the people just cared so much about
where they lived. Remember the food? They would lay out the most beautiful plates of food.
Yeah.
Even though it was just waffles.
It was waffles.
It was like a piece of artwork.
Some lunch meat and some bread. And the best, even the kids actually, after the game and stuff, they actually had smiles on their faces, and they wanted to meet you, and they wanted to see you and stuff. But it was like funny, in the game, it just didn't seem like there was much reaction, and so it was hard to entertain. But after the game, it seemed like the kids were a lot, like they'd loosened up a little bit, kind of understood who you were.
Yeah, and that this was fun, and that this was...
That's good. But those are some good trips.
Yeah. One of the best things about having you as an assistant was your knowledge of the game.
Oh.
Now, normally, I don't want to hire an assistant that is way into sports because they get too enamored with the game.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, they don't have, I don't have their full attention. However.
Because he needs my full attention. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I know.
But it was so fun going out on these trips when we would travel and things like that. Everybody wanted to talk
sports,
the team, the sport, you know, NBA, everything. And they would ask me everything under the sun. Hey, what do you think about that new trade? What do you think about? I'd be like,
and I'd be like interrupting to answer.
Yeah, I know. I was so grateful. Because yeah, no, I didn't even know we were.
I would jump in and that was a great trade. That was and they were like and Ken be like
I would sit there and be like, you know, first of all, I didn't even know, was it our trade? Did we do a trade?
Was that guy on our team?
Yeah, wasn't that bad, but
no, I know it wasn't.
I had no clue compared to you about.
Or how good the person was, or
yeah, you're like, you knew stats, you knew what college they went to, you went way deep with people, and I was so happy to have you along on those trips because I got to eat and all that stuff while you guys were talking
at the dinner and I carried on the conversation. Yeah, it was fun.
Please pass that some more of that raw sliced meat.
And which was good because most time I didn't like the food.
Like you
would eat anything, and I don't hardly eat anything.
Oh my gosh, it was like.
And so,
do you think they have any hamburgers?
I was like, spaghetti bolognese is my favorite.
Yeah,
it's like, do they have any spaghetti bolognese?
We're at a Japanese restaurant. Yeah.
No, it ain't gonna work.
Okay, can I just have some rice?
Yeah,
okay,
some rice and. Yeah, I'm sure about the vegetables. You'd be eating and I would be talking, so it was a good mix.
Yeah, yep. Well, what do you miss about it?
You know, it's one of those things that I don't really think too much about missing it until I would come up, you know, after I left and I'd come up to the game, and even now, you know, when I go and but. Yeah, I miss that, the spontaneous, creative things that would happen, and when I'm sitting there watching the game, it's like when I'd come up afterwards, I could just sit in the crowd, and I could sit and watch a game, and I would turn to whoever I'm with, and I could call out exactly, almost to the T, what you were gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gotten to the point where I just knew your game. When you're walking to a person, watch what he's going to do with them, and I could almost call it.
You could still anticipate every move,
and it was just, and that was fun. That was really fun to be able to when in the game and watch and do that. That was, I miss that.
Yeah,
and even now it's like in the fun part, and I think you've said it before. I'll come back down after the game, and then I would be like telling you what you should have done. And you're like, oh,
you're right. I should have done that.
Oh, my gosh.
That would have made it better. And I miss that because that was how we'd work, is that you'd start with something and you'd come to an ending or something. And then I'd be like, no, but what if? What if we did this? How, you know, I do that same thing with my wife's dinners. What if you did this?
How does that go over?
Yeah, it doesn't
go over as good as
not as well. I still haven't broken that habit. She quit cooking. Good thing you did quit mascotting right away. But I miss that. I miss that part of the gig with just kind of coming up with that perfect ending or how it would work out. Even though most of the time it didn't work that way, but.
Yeah, there was a lot of magic moments that, you know, just the right combination of your personality, my personality, our creativity, you know, combination, it just worked. And I got to give a big thanks to you on another subject here. And, you know, there was a lot of tough times in my life personally at that point where, man, there's a lot of times you would drive all the way up. There were so many times you drove all the way up an hour from Colorado Springs just to take care of some small thing with me and help me out. And a lot of times it had to do with my personal family, my personal situation and things. And, you know, that's what this developed into. And I appreciate that. That's where I realized that I didn't just have a friend. I didn't have an assistant. I had a brother. We were family.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I can never repay that. I've tried.
Well, thank you. Well, not just very hard. Just kidding. The feeling's mutual. Obviously, you know, you and all your family know how I feel about you. And it was great. It was a wonderful time.
Yeah. Good thing that we came out on the other side. Good friends. I will tell you one thing that Scott explained one time to somebody that was asking about me personally. And he says, you know, the one thing about Ken is that, you know, he's not actually that stubborn. Because even now, everybody down, you know, everybody, they all think that I'm hard-headed. I want my way. I'm going to get my way. But here's a little lesson that I'd like to share.
Okay.
When you have the passion, you want to push for that thing. You want to make sure that happens. You don't, you know, if you see a clear path and you have the passion, you're going to take it. You're going to go for it and you're going to do whatever it takes to get that happen. And sometimes I didn't handle it right because I would get upset and take it personal, or I would, you know, start puffing out my chest and saying, no, I want it this way. We are going to do it this way, period. But as you explained that to this other person, you said, yeah, he is that way. But he has a passion for this. He sees it a certain way, wants it to happen. But you said, if I go to him and I say, that's not how it should go, and these are the reasons why, and you explain it, if you explain it to him and it makes sense, he'll switch, he'll flip it, end of story. Well, we're doing something different.
Right.
You know, and that's you know, the kind of influence that you had with me. You could come in, explain, yeah, this won't work this way. You know this, right? Or let me show you how this should go because of this, this, and this, or because of this person and because of, you know, whatever it was. And I always appreciated that about you. You could see the bigger picture a lot of times.
I got to play a mediator quite a bit.
You were the mediator. You had to be the mediator on headset.
Yeah.
And off headset.
And it went both ways. A lot of times, the same thing when I go back to the organization, I'd be like, look, okay, but no, if we do this, and if we do, it's going to be a lot better show. It's going to be bad, you know, it's going to turn out a lot better. We give Rocky a little bit. And a lot of times, we could get something to happen
not quite always the way that you saw it happening, but we'd get something to happen. And
that's the advantage to having a full-time assistant that yeah. knows you, that is given the authority to fight, not fight, but to argue the mascot's side of things to the organization.
Right.
Because sometimes you'd be like, hey, no, he's not going to be at this appearance at 8 o'clock. I'm not going to have him there at 8 o'clock the morning after a game.
That was, yeah, I think that was probably something that they obviously doesn't happen anymore. And I don't even know if it happens with much organizations, is it? And I guess when I started off, I really felt like I was hired more by you and not by the organization. And so a lot of times when I'd go into something, it was more on your behalf. And then I'm just your assistant, but I'm here because of the organization.
Yeah.
And so I think, I probably had a different perspective maybe than some other assistants that we.
Yeah. Things are different. Almost.
I got a lot of props. I would get a lot of props from the other mascots. I appreciated. I mean, I loved the other mascot. I loved being around them.
A lot of good stuff there. A lot packed into those few years.
So we'll have to do part two.
No. Yeah. Where we talk about me throwing underwear at you, or
trying to drive down the road and all of a sudden dirty, sweaty underwear hits me in the back of the head, or wraps around my head and some of my face.
Or like the time when I did drop trow and you looked in the rearview mirror and slammed on your brakes. And I ended up almost going through the windshield.
Yeah, couldn't move because your feet were tied up with your pants. I had to do something to get you back for the underwear.
Oh, good times.
But
always professional. Always professional. Yeah. That's us. Well, Scott, appreciate you.
No, thanks
coming for coming up, having taking the time, sharing all your good times.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah. That's appreciate y'all time. Listening. Tune in to the next one. But thanks for joining us today, Scott.
Love you, brother.
Love you, man.
Thank you for listening. And now you know that there is a person inside there, a living, breathing human with emotions and feelings. If you would like your friends and family to know what is between the fur, please share. See you next time on Between the Fur.